Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flavin. My special guest tonight is going to be Shamako Noble with several of his friends from the Sword of the West mixtape release party that's going to be taking place tomorrow at Fair Gallery here in Seattle. Shamako is from the Bay Area, so I'm excited about having him on the show tonight. He has not called in as of yet, but we were just listening to a track that he created with several of his MC friends, which is called, let's see if I say it right, Megadino Chopasaurus. So, you know what, let me jump into another track by Shamako Noble, and hopefully he will be calling in very, very shortly. This is going to be Broke by Shamako Noble.
Yeah. Yeah. 2010. Cats is broke.
Cats is broke.
You act like that's a joke.
That's
like these cats will not grab a gack and smoke for life. Half a coke and a jacket low. Getting the sense you ain't out here.
Nope.
But the young G's are really about it and down to clown here. Down to move pounds all across the town here. And make moves without fear. We got these poorly rated makeshift lawmakers fucking up. Fakers seeking takers, but the haters still coming up.
Still coming
people
up.
Losing their homes with no one to blame except an imaginary market that gets harder to tame. God is a shame. These credit companies harvest your pain. Village and plunder and just chalk it up as part of the game. Stalking your wage, call you and call you and call you a game. Make deals, don't even know who you bargaining with. They try to act like it's not a threat to their order. But thousands in Detroit still don't have any water. Going out to your son or your daughter to find them up for their own slaughter. Another public housing unit torn up. Police don't even bother with conversations or whatnot. They just speak with a taser or object with a gunshot. They can pour a straw in their quarter raw. It is crystal clear. Convicted for surviving the traps they have engineered. Yo,
yo,
hey, yo. Cats is broke.
Say it,
hey, yo. Cats is broke.
We need to tell them right now.
Hey, yo. Cats is broke.
They need to know right now.
Yeah. Cats is broke.
If you feel it in your pocket.
Yo. Cats is broke.
If you feel it
yo.
In your ring.
Yo. Cats is broke.
If you feel it
yo.
In your car.
Cats is broke.
If you feeling it. If you feeling it.
Yeah, folks are starving. The White House is starting to look like J.P. Morgan. Obama just barged in by a limited margin because of his charm and all of the harm the Bush farm did. But I'ma keep it real.
Yeah.
Even though we won, we still got an economic system that is overrun.
Completely.
And we don't understand it.
No.
And we are all lost.
What?
These corporations, they only want to cut the cost.
Black.
They hack away your jobs.
Yeah.
Prices are level lost. Playing ball more expensive. People have less to cost. We've all always loved America cause we've been better off. But give a warm goodbye to privilege y'all cause we just shifted off. They bail our head of blanks, raise the stakes for corporate conies. We have to choose between what works to get our heart exploding. It sickens up in this piece. We see the plot unfolding, cooped up in a pseudo free market. This is starts imploding.
Yo.
Hey yo, cash is broke.
Come on, say it out loud.
Yo.
Like
cash is broke.
Say it right now.
Hey yo,
like
cash is broke.
Yeah.
Cash is broke.
People out here hurting right now.
Hey, yo, cash is broke. Yo, cash is broke.
Just tell the story.
Yo, cash is broke.
Just tell the story.
Hey, yo, cash is pissed. Critical mass, what'll happen to us after this? It's a conspiracy, a theory we can master. If we get past our past, look at the math and just smash the shit. For many, there's a god, but some cash is it. And they'll be glad with fascism crushes activists. Why are fathers sleeping on bitches while pundits addicted to pills? Or sitting on TV just promoting agendas? Yo, we could affect it all with our collective thought. But there are sections lost, and there are sections bought. And there are sections that may never want to understand. And there are sections that will gain the upper hand, working the numbers, man. There are lines drawn, your wrong times to rise a fist. Signify your mind, then focus, use your mind to fist. It won't take one of us,
not one.
It won't take 25.
25.
It won't take all of us, for all of us to survive. Hey yo, cash is broke.
Cash is broke.
Hey yo, cash is broke.
Cash is broke.
Yo, cash is broke.
Yeah,
yo, cash is broke.
Cash is broke. Yo,
hey yo. Cash is broke.
Cash is broke.
Yo, cash is broke.
Just tell them right now.
Yo, cash is broke.
Hey, yo, tell them right now.
Yo,
like,
cash is broke.
Rock Castro. Your brother will record. West Coast.
All right, that was Broke by Shamako Noble, who is my featured guest tonight. And I believe I do have him on the line now. So let me click on the line and see if I can bring him in. Shamako, is that you?
That it is.
All right. I'm so sorry that I failed to give you the phone number to call in. That's my bad.
Oh, don't you worry about it, Flava. I always appreciate all of your efforts.
And no, I'm still trying to upload some of your music. But, you know, I started out the show as an intro. I played Mega Dino Chopasaurus. And,
oh, that's perfect. You know, I was totally thinking about that, like, about 20 minutes ago. Like, man, I don't think I mentioned it to play it, but that was that's actually a perfect track to play.
So why don't you talk about the artists that that were featured on this track with you?
Sure. So that track right there features Santonio Bandanas and Julie C, both of the Seattle Super Crew, Alpha P. And that's actually a track we did a little while back, produced by a cat named Yan. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And, you know, both of them, of course, will be appearing at the listening party tomorrow night. And actually, Santonio, who is a very gifted artist and, in my opinion, best freestyler on planet Earth, I think that, you know, he's actually got a few projects that have been released recently, including Who is Santonio Bandanas. I know that we'll be playing the Boogie Up the Block track. It's actually one of my personal favorites. There's also a video for that, so folks should check it out. And Julie C, who is currently working on her solo EP effort. I think it's self-titled. Not totally sure right now.
Okay.
And, you know, she's actually a very popular artist out here. Also got a little bit of a following in the Bay Area, Southern California, throughout the United States. So it's actually really good to have that track with them and to have that track as a part of the project and to have them involved with the listening party.
I understand. You know, I have to tell you that, you know, in the short time that I've known Santonio Bandanas, I have to say he's got to be one of the hardest hustling MCs out there. You know, he'll get in the streets, you know, and hustle his music, you know, in a good way, in a good way. And so I have to say that I appreciate about him. I also had the opportunity of being able to watch him and listen to him being interviewed about, you know, Pacific Northwest hip-hop, and I was really, really impressed, you know, about the kindness and you know, how he incorporated not just only his own, you know, gifts and talents, but the talents of many other MCs, you know, out here in the Pacific Northwest. Now, when it comes to Julie C., that's my girl. You know what? I've not had the opportunity to see too many female MCs, you know, perform, you know, and as you know, the last time you were on the leopard carpet with me, Shamako, you know, I say I'm new to all of this, but
right.
I have to tell you, when I, you know, I received some tracks from Julie a while back, but when I saw her perform at Dope Emporium, oh my God, I, you know, I would put her up there on the top of the list, you know, for female MCs. You know, you see this woman, you just wouldn't necessarily, you know, realize that she would be a powerhouse the way she is, but she's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple of things about, you know, some of the stuff that you just brought up. Really interesting note about Santonio. We talked a little bit last time about some of my travels. And as far as, like, the Pacific Northwest scene goes, Santonio is a presence that, you know, he's a presence that, like, when I'm in other cities, and, you know, I'm talking about Seattle, like, everybody knows him, right? And
okay.
they know him for two reasons, right? They know him because of his skills, and they know him because of his work ethic, right? Like, you know, I have a friend of mine, his name's Mike Word. He's a part of Hip Hop Congress. He's based out of Boulder, Colorado. And he went to Seattle University, you know, somewhere like probably like a decade ago.
Okay.
And, you know, he was like, yeah, I bought a tape from Asa and it. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
And he's not like the only person I've heard that story from, you know. And I really think, I personally think Asa's a particularly special artist on a lot of different fronts. So, you know, I don't know if you guys have done a feature on him yet, but that would be pretty good. I know he's going to be joining us on the show a little bit later, so excited about mm-hmm. that. And, you know, again, another nail on the head. So the comment you made about Julie, that's something that, you know, I think she's probably heard or gets a lot. Because, you know, you see her, she's like, you know, she's there. So you wear her glasses, you know, she's hanging out. And then, like, she starts busting or whatever. Okay, so, like, the first time I saw her perform, it was in Cleveland. We were at a conference, you know, because she's also a teaching artist and a teacher. And, I mean, that's part of how we all ended up getting to know each other. And that's, like, pretty much everybody, I'd say the large majority of artists on my project are teaching artists. There are some that aren't.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of, I'll get in more into it later, but a lot of what I was hoping to accomplish with this project, and there's two parts to it, there's two volumes to it, was sort of honoring the musical community that I'm a part of while also kind of getting some stuff off my chest musically and culturally, sort of accomplishing both goals. So I met Julie kind of in that world at a conference. It was a hip-hop and education conference in Cleveland at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we all ended up at this nightclub, and there was an open mic, and, you know, like, she got on it. And, man, it was just like she just grabbed the mic. And it was, like, you know, I'd seen her during the conference or whatever, but she just grabbed the mic, and it was like an explosion, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, you know, and I don't think it's changed much. In fact, I think it's only grown since that time, so... you know, again, two very talented artists and overall two very powerful community figures that it's great to have kind of involved with this whole project.
Right.
And on one song, you know. Julie's actually on more than one song, and A-Sun is on more than one song total. So he's on one song on this project, and he's on another song on the next one.
Right. I know Julie had sent me a message, and she was so sad that she wasn't able to come on to the show tonight because, you know, she was really would have liked to, but she is teaching tonight. So, you know,
yeah.
She definitely sends her best, and I told her, that's all right. I'm going to see you tomorrow night. So
right.
I'm really excited about being able to finally meet you in person, Shimako, and to be able to see, you know, you perform, but also, you know, several of the people that you have respect and are working on this project with you perform. So I'm excited, you know, because it just kind of takes it to a different level in a sense for me when it comes to the hip-hop community and being able to experience some other talents that I have not experienced before. So why don't you talk a little bit more about this project and the mixtape release party that's taking place tomorrow at Fair Gallery?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to tell you something that you might consider a little disappointing.
Uh-oh.
I'm not actually performing tomorrow.
No, come on, Neil.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there.
there's an explanation. So I am performing at the All City Chop. This is actually the original motivation for me coming out here is I'm performing at the All City Chop show at Lo-Fi on the 13th. Which, of course, is the Chopped and Screwed series put together by Zachariah the Barber, good friend, also teaching artist and all-around entrepreneur. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to meet him yet, but he'll also be at the party Tuesday.
I've never met him, no.
Yeah, you should if you get a chance, you know, and the opportunity presents itself, it'd be great to have you out at the All City Chop Show. I will be performing there. At this party, what I was really hoping to do, okay, so we're going to talk about this. So this is my, all right. So
yeah,
first off, I really do appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk about this on air. I haven't put out a project as an artist since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I released my first album, The Return of the Coming of the Aftermath, when I recently re-released. I've done a lot of music since then, and I've done a lot of music with a lot of different people. And so at one point, you know, I found myself with this, like, catalog of all this stuff that represented sort of different experiences, phases, understandings, growth, shrinking, life. And it was just kind of, you know, sitting there. And it was a little too much to fit onto one album. Now, I do have an album that's getting released later on this year, December 15th, Personal Issues, which I'll talk a little bit more about later on in the show. But that album is really, really specific, right? It's specific to a particular phase of life. and a particular process in that phase of life. And it didn't necessarily encompass, or I didn't want it to encompass, all of the musical experience that I'd had, you know, since really 2005, and actually before that, technically.
Okay.
So at one point, I decided that I was going to put out a mixtape series. And, you know, I'm on an independent label, Rendezvous Records. I had a really, really grandiose plan initially, which is still kind of in effect, but, like, initially, Flavor, I wanted to put out 4 CDs. And I wanted 1 CD specifically to be the music that I'm rapping on, 1 CD to be the music that I was producing, and then I wanted to do 2 CDs that was sort of, again, sort of strictly dedicated to the musical and cultural community that I'm a part of.
Okay.
Now, some of the people on my label felt that was a bit confusing and wanted me to focus more on my own art, since I have a habit of not doing that, which is part of the reason why I haven't put anything out in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of was the compromise, right? The compromise was 2 projects. That's really 1 project. This project having 19 tracks on it, the next one having around the same amount. And the large majority of those tracks being music that I've done with others, or, you know, music that I have produced for others. And so I was in Atlanta. So I came off the march last year, and I was in Atlanta for 6 months. And when I was in Atlanta, I did a lot of music there. I mean, 30, 40 songs all together, like with beats and music that I made and music that other people made that I was a part of. And then I came back to the Bay, did a little more music, and was like, man, I got to put something. Something's got to come out, you know. And so I kind of went through a process of, like, I don't know, I guess we'll call it meditation and soul searching. And, you know, I was in the studio a lot with some friends of mine back in the Bay, Dirty Nate, Sean Black, and of course, D. LeBreed, the CEO of the record label. And some other folks, and spending a lot of time with my family. And I just kind of was like, okay, I'm just going to... It was really funny. Okay, so the actual, what we'll call a final push for me to, like, do it, like, just do it, was my mom, who's probably been, like, the most consistent supporter of my music, like, since I've been doing it. And she was really, like... are you ever going to take your music seriously? Right? And I hadn't even really seen myself as not taking it seriously, because I was is what I'm doing, all this stuff, you know what I mean? But, you know, I was talking to her about maybe putting the project out and, like, kind of some of the struggles. She was basically like, why don't you just do it? You know what I'm saying? Like, just do it. Whatever happens, happens, you know? And I was like, okay. So I just, you know, did it. and... It's been, I mean, the last 2 months, it's been kind of, I mean, you know, you're talking to anybody who's in, like, the last 2 months of their album. It's crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have this again. So, okay, this one gets released on May 19th, right? The release date was selected because of Malcolm X's birthday.
Okay.
Right? And so my connection to that being, like, you know, I was in eighth grade. When I was in eighth grade, when I read the autobiography of Malcolm X, and it became kind of an obsession of mine. It was actually a pretty formative period of my life in terms of the direction. Like, when I look at where I'm at now and why I'm here, when we look at, like, for instance, like, the whole nature of the last interview we just had, like, a lot of it comes back to that era of my life. And I was doing a lot of organizing and music at that time, too. That was actually the introduction of my music organizing life. In eighth grade, I think.
Wow.
And you know, like, my study and connection to Malcolm X at the time played a big role in it, so I felt like that was appropriate. The next release date is in August, and then following that, there's the album release December 15th, which is the birthday of my twins.
Okay.
Hopefully, all things go according to plan, you'll get to see them tomorrow. Maybe not in person, but at least a picture. A big one.
Right.
So, you know, I got into this last 2 months, and, you know, like, had all the normal artisty things. You know, I don't like this. I don't know if I like that. You know, I want to change this. I'm going to keep that. I want to get rid of this. Oh, my God. I can't believe that sounds that way. And really, literally, got down to completing the project, start to finish, the night before I got on the plane here. Yeah, and it was really funny, too, because, you know, it was like, because, you know, I'm coming here or whatever, so there's all these plans, everybody's like calling me, and there's stuff going on there, people are calling me, and I can't, I'm like, I can't talk to anyone. I can't talk to anyone right now.
Right.
We've got to finish this. And, you know, to be honest, like the day before, we were in the studio the day before, and it was Cinco de Mayo. And, you know, I live in San Jose, and I don't know if you've ever experienced Cinco de Mayo in San Jose, but it's real serious. It's a real serious holiday.
I bet it is. I've been there once, so I can imagine, because it's like majority
it's like 50%. Yeah, exactly. So we got a little distracted. That's an easy way to put it, right? We got a little distracted on the 5th of May. Came back in the next day and just, you know, knocked it out. And so, I mean, personally, I'm feeling really good about it. And I don't, you know, when I say I'm feeling really good about it, I don't know. It's really interesting, right? Because as an artist, you do something, you're like connected to it, right? So it's hard sometimes to tell what it is, right? Like whether it's good or it's not good, so to speak, right?
Okay.
Or who it's gonna relate to, or who it's not gonna relate to. At least for me. Like for me, it's difficult to be authentically objective, right?
Okay.
But I personally feel good about it, right? I feel like I did find a pretty solid balance of who I am artistically, which is a lot of different things, I think. And it might throw some people off, might confuse some people. I know personally, you know, I still tested it a bit, and I definitely know there's something on there everybody can connect with, can connect to.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see how, like, the whole of the project is taken, you know? But, you know, I'm just sort of giving you a brief overview here. I don't know if you have any, like, additional sort of specific...
Well, of course, I have a specific question that you didn't answer. How come you're not performing tomorrow night?
Oh, right. That. Okay, so that's, you know, I was actually getting to that. So the reason I'm not performing tomorrow night, so really what I want to do, right? Okay, so the first reason I'm not performing is because I'm performing All City Chop, and I didn't want to, like, over-perform or whatever. You know what I mean? I was booked at Zach's show before I decided to do this, and I just felt kind of rude being like, I'm just going to pop up and do my own stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Another thing, and probably the more important one, is that rather than trying to perform 19 songs or even 5 songs, because I don't have, like, not a lot of songs on the mixtape or solo, right?
Okay.
What I really wanted to do was, like, talk to people about the music, right?
Okay.
Because there's a story behind every song. And I don't know if I'm going to have a lot of opportunities to really, like, share that with people. Because, I mean, mainly people will just get copies of it or download it, or somebody will give it to them or whatever. And it's just music, and you either like it or you don't. And really my hope with this party, it's not like a huge party or whatever, you know, but was to really, like, share that experience with people in its entirety, which is going to require me to stop before a song about 10 to 15 times minimum and just explain it. Like, hey, this is how this song came to be. This is why it was special to me and why it ended up in the project. I, you know, really hope that you check it out, seriously. And, you know, like, you do shows and people come in and they come out. But really what I hope is that I really authentically get a group of people, even if it's a small group of people, to just come and hang out and really vibe out with the project. And, you know, whether they love it or they think it's junk, their opinion can be based on having actually had that experience. You know what I mean?
Okay. If you say so. I'm just like kind of bummed, Shimako.
Aw, don't be bummed.
I am, because, you know, normally when these events take place, you know, I'm working because, you know, I work on the weekends. And,
right.
You know, so I miss a lot of events that I would like to be, you know, be able to attend. And I'm
right.
Like, yes, I can go Tuesday. Nothing's going on. I don't, you know, really have to, you know, I won't have grandchildren late and, you know, Fair Gallery's not too far from where I live. Now, and the only reason I really was going, you know, Shimako, was to meet you and get to experience you.
Wow. Okay. So you know what? I want you to know that I really do. You have been extremely supportive, like, since the moment we started talking. And your words do not go unheard. It would be a change of plans. It would be a change of plans. However, that is a fairly compelling argument you have there. Label.
Oh, you know, I guess what we'll have to do, Shimako, since you don't plan on performing tomorrow, I suppose, you know, in the near future, we just have to have you come on and do one of those, you know, 30-minute freestyles, huh?
I mean, you know, I would actually be down for that. I haven't done that in a while. I mean, like, I have, you know, like, not in public, but I haven't done that in public in a while. So that would be pretty cool. I was actually going to ask if, one of the videos that, there's two videos coming off of this project. One of them is already out. It's a track called Got Spit. It was produced by a gentleman out of Pittsburgh named DJ Thermos.
Okay.
I don't know if you have that track available, but I was kind of hoping we might be able to play that one.
Let me click. You want me to try to play it now?
That would be great.
Okay, so let's
see. Now, I will say that if I do perform, because we discussed it, if I do perform, this will more than likely be one of the tracks I do.
don't let me sway your plans. I'd be honored if I could actually have that type of power and sway your plans. I understand what you're saying. I mean, because that's one of the things that I have talked to some artists about, you know, oversaturating it and, like, performing, like, back-to-back at different places that, you know, are people really going to want to come out and experience you at all these different places or whatever. So I do think that you have to be smart and selective. You just didn't warn me. You know, you didn't give me all the scoop on what was going on, you know, and it was
I'm
like...
I'm pretty well known for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, okay. Well, no, I kind of gather that, you know, you're kind of one of those last-minute people, which, you know, we're not going to just, like, totally call you out or nothing, but...
I think we just did. We've been done.
Oh, my bad. No, my bad.
Follow.
Anyway, so I'm going to play Got Spit by Shimako.
Got Spit, that's right.
Yeah, right. Well, I thought I was going to play Got Spit. You might have to Got Spit on your own. Okay. I'm just talk while I try to Got Spit.
I will do so.
Wow, Shimako. See, you just, like, bummed me out that, you know, now the music board doesn't want to Got Spit.
I'm sure it'll come around.
This is interesting. Okay, so let's just talk. Maybe it just needs, like, I don't know what it needs right at the moment, because it's not letting me click on your music, and that was one of the tracks that I was able to get uploaded before the show. But anyway, we could just, you know, talk a little bit, and if all of a sudden you hear yourself come on in the music, then you know we got spit.
Right, got you.
So, okay, so if you do not perform tomorrow night, why don't you talk about who will be performing then?
Okay, so there will be four people performing, or four entities performing. Two of which you've already talked about, right? Julie C. And Santonio Bandanas. Then there are two others, one of which is Violent Lambs, two-thirds of the Black Stacks Collective, of which you are very familiar.
Yes, I am.
And one of which is Jamil Suleiman. Now, I want to say for the record that, like, those four, again,
mm-hmm.
are very, like, particular to my experience here in the Northwest and as an artist in general.
Mm-hmm.
So Silent Lambs, actually, that's the first group that I came into contact with in my experience with Seattle. I remember like a lot of it pretty vividly because, you know, I was working at Earthlink at the time, and I had received a promo package from them. And they had a song on their CD. It was called A House of Respect.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I could not get over that song.
Right.
Like, I used to play that song all the time. All the time. And, you know, at one point, you know, there were some folks I was working with in Hip Hop Congress that come up to Seattle, met with them. I met with their publicist in Southern California at the B-Boy Summit. I think it was 1999. Right?
That just shows you, huh? How long.
Right, right.
Everybody's been around, huh?
Everybody.
Right.
And, you know, I was like juiced to get them out to the Bay. So at
mm-hmm.
one point we, you know, made a plan for them to come out to the Bay. And at the time I was doing a monthly in Oakland called Arise. So they came out, you know, ripped that set in Oakland. You know, they stayed in San Jose. We had a community barbecue the next day. It was called Global Village. And we had a basketball tournament, and they came, and then they won the basketball tournament.
Okay.
And you know, the competition wasn't like super light. I mean, it wasn't like super fierce, but mm-hmm. they definitely, you know, did the sizzle. And you know, they had their Silent Lambs T-shirts on, and a friend of mine was there, and he came up to me, and he was just like. Man, these guys are superheroes. Right? You know, and it was really, I don't know, just, it felt, our connection felt natural. Now, what's interesting, I'd be interested to hear, like, their take on this part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think that they knew that I was an artist at the time.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, as I'm talking, you know, I'm talking about, like, organizing barbecues and shows or whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And I'm not mentioning, like, being in the studio, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So a lot of how we interacted for a long period of time was on that basis. And I think the first time we actually did a song together, was actually the first time I came to Seattle. And we were at Rob Castro's studio,
mm-hmm.
and it was Jace Black and myself. We did a track called The Bridge that was 2007.
Okay.
So it was like, that's almost like, what, 8 years? Nine years. Nine years.
Yeah.
And nine years before we actually artistically collaborated. It was still pretty light, you know. But then, you know, over time, I did there's a track with Silas Black on the album, or on the mixtape, called Give Me the Ball, which was produced by Rob Castro. And my hope is that we will land the bridge on the second volume, you know.
Okay.
But a lot of the music that I recorded here in Seattle, I recorded at Rob Castro's studio, you know, of course, with the support of Silent Lambs. I remain a fan of the original collective, of the MCs individually, and am a fan of Black Stax, all of those individually and collectively. And so, like, their presence at this party as performers is, of course, very meaningful to me. So that's my little Silent Lamb story. I don't know
if
you have any.
That's a great story, and I wish that Black and Jace could have been here to hear it, because as you kind of stated, I work really closely with Black Stax, and through LA, I learned, about Silent Lamb Project, and I thought, well, what kind of name is that? What is this? But I have to tell you, the first time that I saw the video of House of Respect, and I'm not like really big like on the cussing thing, I pretty much censor most of the music that I play on my show. But I'm like, that, particular video and that track, it just like stood out for me, and that's what really kind of pushed me to just fall in love with Black and Jace's sound. And so, and I used to have that uploaded to my board here, but unfortunately, Blog Talk had an issue and I lost 16 pages of my music. And unfortunately, so unfortunately, that was some of the music that I lost off of there. So, Jace is going to work on helping me get back the music. And I have no clue what is going on with my music board right now, Shimako, and I'm so very sorry. I'm going to keep, clicking and seeing if we can get anything going right now. It's just not, allowing me to push buttons. This is when I need somebody else who's on the computer that can go into
producer,
the show and see.
The producer role.
I do. I need somebody to do that, because maybe they'd be able to get it done off of their computer versus mine. But, it's interesting that you have such a long history with some of the artists right here in the Pacific Northwest, and that, it goes back so far, when it comes to who you are and who they are as artists. So I appreciate the thoughtfulness that goes into who you selected to be a part of this particular event tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No, it just seems like, I'm just getting to know you, and so it's, I don't necessarily have, your personality, figured out yet. I have a good sense of who you are, and I definitely have a sense of what your talents, are about, and your love and passion when it comes to hip hop and the seriousness of that, But, I appreciate the stories and the thoughtfulness that's going into this particular event tomorrow night, because that just tells me a little bit more about who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, So, okay, it's funny. So, okay, let me talk about Jamil for a moment.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Do you believe in, like, cosmic stuff?
Of course I do.
Source energy, all things happen for a reason kind of thing?
I do.
Which might, maybe that's why the board thing is happening. I don't know. But, Jamil's a really interesting case in this situation. And in particular, the fact that the party is at Fair Gallery. Okay, so I met Jamil here in Seattle, probably 2009-ish. He was 2008 maybe. He was connected with the Hip Hop Congress chapter that was there at the time at UW, University of Washington. And Jamil's like, that's like my road dog. It's my brother. You know what I'm saying? And there were. I mean, just to put it out there, there were, for me, some fairly rough times when I was here. And I really see Jamil and another gentleman by the name of Corvus Blackbird, but in particular Jamil, because he was there a lot, as like a guy who was like both a grounder and a guiding light during that time period. You know, he was like right when I was about to leave, this I guess would be in the beginning of 20, was it beginning of 2009? It's all a big blur at this point. I think it was March or April of 2009. He was working on his first solo album, entitled The Ego's Last Stand. And, you know, I was working on the Personal Issues project at the time. And so, you know, he would come over and we would, like, you know, just share tracks or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And we would sit and have, like, these 2.5-hour philosophical conversations that may or may not have an outcome, but were delightful and enlightening nonetheless, right?
Right.
And so he put together a release party. And the release party was, can you guess what the release party was? I bet you can guess.
Go ahead, tell me, Shimako.
So the release party was at Fair. And, you know, I was one of his opening acts for the show. And it was actually my second to last show as a resident of Seattle. You know, after that time period, I went on the march and then, you know, went to Atlanta and came back to the Bay. And sort of during that time period, Jamil ended up going to Hawaii, where he was basically living on a farm. I want to say it was Kauai. It might have been Maui. But he's basically living on a farm in Hawaii. And at that point, like, our only mode of communication was, like, Facebook or, like, GChat. You know what I mean? But we always stayed in communication. And not just that we stayed in communication, but it was like the conversation that we had started with each other here in Seattle continued no matter where we were on the planet or what our communication situation was, you know? And I was trying to get Jamil on this. Like, I sent him a beat a few months back when he was in Hawaii. I don't know what his recording capabilities were. I was really, really trying to get him on this project. But I'm pretty sure I'll get him on the next volume. Positive I'll get him on the next volume. But I definitely, you know, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to have him as a part of this event, as, you know, my first experience really with that gallery as a performer was with that cat, you know what I'm saying?
So he's actually in Seattle then to perform for this?
Yes.
But he still lives in Hawaii?
No, okay, great point. So he came back probably about 2 months ago or something.
Oh, okay.
So he's been back in Seattle for some time now. He did not fly in from Hawaii to perform at the show.
I thought, well, you're big time, huh?
Yeah, no. I'm just a normal guy rapping sometimes. Jamil, I mean, the other interesting thing about, like, this particular lineup, right, is that I had a show here when I got back from the march last year. And it was almost the same lineup, right? There were some variations on it, but it was generally speaking the same lineup. Now, I want you to know, right, that I didn't, like, default. Like, I thought it through, and I was like, no, I think the same lineup still applies, man. And, like, not only did the same lineup still apply, it actually applied more. You know what I'm saying? Because now I had this project, and the party was going to be at this place, and it wouldn't even really make sense for me to not have them involved in it. I mean, for me, like for me,
right?
You know,
right?
So, yeah, I'm very excited about it. I'm excited about it just for whatever will happen, whatever happens, right?
Right.
Because again, it sort of marks the completion of something, like, or at least the completion of something and the beginning of something. And the beginning
I was going to say it. It kind of shows the history, you know, and almost like something coming full circle.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And I have an appreciation, you know, for that because I do believe that certain things happen for a reason. I believe that, you know, we meet certain people for, you know, certain reasons and for certain purposes, you know. And so, you know, I totally get, you know, what it is that you're saying in regards to that. So,
right.
You know, I'll still come tomorrow night. You know, I'll still show up. You know, because hey, I don't have anything to do on Tuesday. No, I'm messing with you, Shimako. I'm going to be there, whether you perform or not.
Well, I really do hope to have you out there. Okay, so I've been talking more about, like, I guess the people and the music itself at this point. So I should talk about the music a little bit. I was hoping to play the music and then talk about it as it was playing. Like, I just talk about it. And maybe that'll work out because, like, if people are curious about what it sounds like, they're going to have to go to the listening party.
Right.
I mentioned that I've been, like, listening to this stuff kind of obsessively for a minute, you know what I mean? And I still make it a point to listen to the project all the way through from start to finish at least once a day.
Okay.
At this point it's kind of too late to change anything. I mean, I might still have a little bit of time to change one or two things, but it kind of is what it is, you know. The thing that I am, I think, in particular most excited about, right, is, so with my album, right, my albums tend to be really insular. And so in a way, they're kind of more true, right? Because, like, typically there's a lot of me or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm rapping on tracks, and sometimes I'll have features, but mainly not, you know. And, like, Personal Issues in particular is pretty thematic because it's called Personal Issues. It's basically an album about personal issues. Mine specifically, everybody's in general, right?
Oh, okay.
And
we're
going to
learn a whole bunch about you.
yes, you are. So you know the song Broke, right? Broke is actually off of Personal Issues. Because being broke is a personal issue, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but it's also a general issue. The thing that I really liked about this project is that it musically represents a broader me, right? So, you know, I talked earlier that, like, there are probably going to be some things that surprise people. And so here's a really good example of that, right? There's a song on the mixtape. It's called Back Home in Georgia. And if you can't, I'll send it to you because I think you would personally enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it, obviously, in Atlanta with this cat named Sunny. It's really Sunny's song. So we talk about, like, the cosmic thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So check this one out. I was going to the store, I think to buy cigarettes or something unhealthy like that. The house where I was living, you know, I had a little mini studio or whatever, little garage band set up with a mic, you know. So there's this guy, he's at the gas station, and he's got this, like, guitar strapped to his back, and he's just, like, sitting there. And, like, I'm like, okay, is this for me? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there a guy with a guitar at the gas station for me?
Right.
Because I'm like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, you know, I went on this march or whatever, you know what I mean? And, like, on the march, I beatbox so much with so many guitarists. Like, almost every city I went to, I would end up beatboxing at some point with somebody who played the acoustic guitar. It, like, became a thing that I do now. Like, it wasn't, I mean, it was something I kind of did before. It's something that I do now, right?
Okay.
And, in fact, me and my nephew plays guitar. I do that a lot with him. He is not on this project, but he's on the next one. He's like 14, taught himself to play the guitar. So, anyway, so I walk up to this guy, right? And I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just kind of sitting here waiting for something to happen. I'm like, okay. It's perfect. You go to my house and make some songs? He was like, cool. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So, you know, we went to the house, and we made four tracks. Two of them were his. We did like a Christmas song.
Okay.
And this other song back home in Georgia. And then we did two tracks of mine. One called Sometimes and one called Hold On To. And it was really interesting because back home in Georgia, you know, like, we were just vibing out, right? Like, he came to the house or whatever, and I was beatboxing. He was playing the guitar. And he just started singing his song, right? And I was listening to it, and I was like, have you recorded that? And he was like, nah, you know, I was like, we're recording that, like, right now. You know, and he's like, well, I gotta go right now. I was like, okay, tomorrow. And he's like, okay. So he came through the next day, and I had set up some drum tracks for him, and we just laid it down. And
wow.
You know, it was really, like, I really like the song. And so far, it's funny, right? Because my album's pretty much a rap album, and this is like a soul track, like soul kind of neo soul. Southern,
yeah.
Real Southern, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like I show, so whenever I show women, they're always like, what's that track? You know what I'm saying, right? So I'm like, that's Sonny. You know what I'm saying? Sonny's doing his thing right there. He's in, I think he's in New York right now.
Okay.
You know, and I believe he's working on a record deal. I don't really know the details of it. I should probably check in with him sometime relatively soon about that. But, you know, like, again, you know, I have this musical experience in Georgia, right, or in Atlanta. It's like I have, you know, a musical experience in the Bay Area or music experience in Seattle or whatever. And that gets reflected, and it's like you're going to – so you would hear it, right? If you didn't have, like, the mixtape in front of you, you'd be like, why is this on the mixtape? You know, it's like I co-produced the track. I didn't write the music, but I definitely was a part of creating the music. And, like, it is a reflection – it is a reflection of an aspect of my musical self. So, like, that's kind of, like, that's one example of, like, one of the things that, you know, I mean, you're going to get some, like, pretty straight up, and even with the, okay, so even with the rap stuff, right? So sometimes because of my work, I get characterized before anyone actually even, okay, so you hear broke, right? Okay, take the interview we did last time, right?
Yes.
And you hear broke. And you're like, oh, he's a
political guy. I played
broke
at the beginning of the show. Did you hear me play
it? I did hear that.
Okay.
And, you know, that usually puts me in the political rapper category, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't necessarily true. I mean, I am engaged in political activism to a very broad extent.
Right.
I am engaged in educational activism. And I do politically and socially conscious and aware music. I also go to the club, drink Long Islands, and, you know, get stupid. That is also a part of my personality, right?
Okay.
So I'm not, you know, I'm not like a one-sided dude. And it's interesting because I was actually, while I was putting this project together, you know, I was showing one of my friends, cat I've known since like 1997 or whatever, I was showing him a lot of the music, and he was like, how come you never do any fun songs, you know? And I was like, I do fun songs. He's like, not recently. You know, he was like, all your stuff's all serious or whatever. When am I going to see the part of you that, like, I'm at the bar with? which is true, because, like, when we're at the bar or whatever, I'm pretty, like, this, because the guy who was saying this, right, I went to his wedding, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I'm just going to be honest about it. I went to his wedding, and I was, like, snapping people with, I had a towel, because I was sweating when I was dancing. I was, like, snapping people with a towel.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, it's a little rude and inappropriate. I agree with that. I'm not hiding from that truth, right?
Okay.
But, and apparently I danced with his mentor. I didn't know it was his mentor at the time, a woman named Mary Kim or whatever, but.
Mm.
And I guess we really got our groove cracking because she was my Facebook friend the next day. so this is his understanding of me, right? He's like, you were at my wedding grooving with my mentor and snapping people with a towel. So I understand your serious side. I see that part of you, and
yeah.
I see other parts of you too.
Okay.
And he's right. Like, that is, there are, you know, other parts of me. And this is, so you mentioned earlier that, like, you don't like the cursing. So there are going to be certain songs, Flavor, that you're going to be, I believe, fairly pleased with. There may be some songs that you're like, not totally my speed.
Okay, so, you know, okay, let me back up. There, you know, when it comes to doing the radio shows, Shimako, and the people that pay attention to Flavor News Radio, there's kind of a certain type of people that come to my shows generally and to, you know, that watch me,
yeah,
that have a little bit more power in the music and entertainment industry. And so I do pay attention to what it is that they're willing to pay attention to. It doesn't necessarily mean I don't have an appreciation, because I can have an appreciation when it comes to certain verbiage due to, you know, if there's relevance to the usage. What I do have a problem with is if it's a filler word and it's repeated, like, over and over, more so as a filler word. So it doesn't mean that I'm totally turned off, but when it honestly comes to the radio show, I do try to keep it as clean as possible, just because of knowing who my fan base is. Now, for instance, you know, this particular show, you know, when I was talking to Jace from Silent Lamb, you know, Black Sex, I said, you know, I'm not going to censor, you know, the music. If there's something that comes up, that's not a particular issue. But I have an appreciation, Shimako.
Mm-hmm. No, I have, okay, so the filler angle.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're solid, because I don't believe I did that, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I tend to believe that if you're going to curse, it should be semi-meaningful if you can make that happen, right? You're not
going to
avoid cursing.
Okay.
At least make your curse words
right.
Purposeful, right?
Right.
So
right.
I'm pretty sure I did that. And if that's the case, cool. I'm just telling you, there are a couple tracks that are pretty much club tracks, and I don't really.
Right.
I mean, they're kind of me style club tracks. So I don't think they're like.
Okay.
Deviate from my personality. This is one thing I do. This is what I do not think I did. What I do not think I did is deviate from my personality. I don't think.
Okay.
I really honestly don't feel like. I feel like if you listen to it and you're like, "That's not me," then the problem is you don't really know me.
Well,
I put anything on there that wasn't me. And,
well, you said the first time when you were on the show with me that, you know, that you want people to get to know you. And that
right.
There's all kinds of sides to who Shimako Noble is. And I can totally appreciate that because, I mean, it can't be all about, like, the seriousness and just, like, you know, you never go out clubbing and you never dance or whatever. You know, I mean, I think there's relevance to all those sides. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, you do, you do have different sides to you. So, you know. You know what, Shimako? I think I'm going to try to click on the song again and see if I can play it.
Go for it.
All right. So I'm hoping, cross your fingers, everybody listening to the show, that I can play Got Spit by Shimako Noble.
There's a video on YouTube.
That's right, y'all. We want it rough. We're calling you bluff. And when it comes to rock. For how this might come across, there's something on my rhyme right now, and it's coming off. Your mouth is running off, ain't saying much.
Captain cutting off, don't need to sing and touch. Hitters are still hating, shit that makes me smile. I know you want me gone, shit might take a while. But I'm planning on leaving, not even when I'm dead. Transfer my consciousness into another man instead. But if a proper team, pop up a drop to breathe. Fired and Falcons be with a proper team like a thousand seeds. Some rise and shine, others just rise upon. Try to ride the line, push the woman to slice of life. I thought too far, I told you, war quite divine. But rock rappers get the guns capped because it's quiet time. Not your average cat, Joe Hart, grabbing bass rhymes. And civilized naturally for the savage rap. Even my mistakes are intentional. Never flat, in fact, act multi-dimensional. Lacing tracks in a crazy fashion that displays the passion. Hey, you say you're smashing, but don't see you taking action. Suckers is faking, flashing. To me, that's kind of tight. I threw that before I came in the room like black dynamite. Spot the target lies. You're a tiger bomb approach. It's a spark of fire with you. Spot with my tightest lines. And by the time you had a mask, I was inside your mind. Taking back 99% of what was rightly mine. We could be cellular or get molecular. We could be spiritual or could be secular. We can be general or be particular. No matter what we got, I can promise I'll be the victor, sir. So it's the timing right. We finna bring the life tonight. The love, the luxury, it's like for that. It's like, it's like boom, come on, 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 boom. When the people say damn, that dude right there, he has got spit. It's your mock, yo, I'm at it again. It's like damn, dude right there, yo, he has got spit. It's your mock, yo, I'm at it again. It's like
Noble. So what's the story behind that particular track? I know you mentioned it earlier, Shimako.
Okay, so that's also an interesting one. So I mentioned that it was produced by a cat named DJ Thermos out of Pittsburgh, who, interestingly enough, is also a teaching artist. I actually met him in Detroit. At a workshop at the U.S. Social Forum. See, again, it's kind of the interplay between the two things that is just constant, right, at least as far as my experience goes. But he, you know, we were talking one day, and he sort of sent me, like, a couple samples of his work, and this is one of the samples, and I was just like, yo, I am really trying to rap on some of your stuff. And, you know, he was like, cool, do your thing. And so I did the track, and I kind of did it like, I don't know. Okay, so again, I'm going to use Broke as an example because it's easy.
Okay.
So Broke was a really intentional track, right? Like, there was this moment where something was happening in the world, and I had all this stuff I wanted to say about it, you know what I'm saying? And I wrote three verses, and they were structured in a certain way with a certain intended impact. And, you know, some songs are written like that, right? God Spit was literally me just picking these, like, sections of two bars or four bars or eight bars that I had written just randomly and putting them in a song, right? And, like, trying to find a way to make them work and then putting and then giving it a chorus. And really, I kind of did it like it was like a practice. Like, I was just practicing. Like, I was like, I really like this beat, and I wanted to make something I like to it, but it was I didn't have, like, super high expectations for it or whatever, you know? And so I did it, and then I didn't really, like, show a lot of people. Like, I showed a few people. I didn't really show a lot of people. That's not, that wasn't, like, one of the songs I showed people. You know what I mean? But I liked it. And so one day I was walking home from the office when I was in San Jose, and there's this part of the walk where you're crossing this bridge above a freeway, like right near a light rail station, and I was listening to the song, and I was like, you know, I would like to do a video to this song where I'm walking home from the office or something like
right.
that.
Right.
And, like, this is the scenery, because I'm looking at the scenery. Every day I see this, it's like around sunset or whatever. It's like beautiful. You know what I mean? And there's traffic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like my life, you know, and the life of the people I'm around. And it's simple, I guess. So I think that'd be tight, you know. So I mentioned Dirty Nate, right? Dirty Nate is a friend of mine, a DJ. He works in a group called Soapbox Melodics. So gotta get you connected to Soapbox Melodics. You would love them.
Okay.
So he he does videos and photography. And I just asked him one day because he had filmed a video that I was like just kind of showing up to the shoot at. I saw the video. I was like, hey, he's good at this, you know. I was like, hey, I have this idea for a video. Would you be interested in it? And he was like, yeah. So, you know, we went and we scoped the spot, and it was like a 15-minute scope. I was like, you know, basically I'm going to walk up the street and rap.
Okay, and that's exactly what you did.
And he was like, and so we walked. He saw the walk, and then we talked about the angles, and he was like, yeah, I like this.
Uh-huh.
And so about a week later, we just went and we shot the video. It literally took like an hour and maybe a little less. I mean, we did.
Okay.
We like talked about it. The homie Sean Black was there. We talked about it. We did a walkthrough. We filmed it once, made some mistakes, then we filmed it again, and we were done. And it was one shot. It's one shot. One shot, two takes. And then, you know, we went back to the studio, hung out, did some editing, uploaded it. And it's not like blowing the internet away or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten a pretty solid, like, 700 views at this point. Over the course of, like, a few weeks.
Yeah.
The thing about that's interesting to me about that is, like, I have some videos that have that many views. I don't have
uh-huh.
a lot of videos that have that many views. And it wasn't like a gargantuan organizing project, right?
Right.
It wasn't like we organized a video shoot or whatever, and then we organized, like, this huge marketing campaign. We really, literally, the whole thing from start to finish is like a fluke. Like,
right.
when I look at it, you know, when I think about all the effort I've put into certain things as effort, and I compare it to how that happened, total fluke.
Mm.
Like, the song itself, like, I got this beat from this random dude. I threw these random lyrics on it. I didn't even trip off the song, really. I was walking home one day and thought of something. The homie happened to be down and really tight at what he does. And then we happened to make a video out of it. Now it's like, now like, okay, I guess people may like the song. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no idea. That song might not have ended up on the mixtape if not for that video.
Okay.
I would have
overlooked it. When I first saw the video, I thought, you know, he's just like walking down the street somewhere in his hood, huh? Like with his homie or whatever.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's, yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is fun. And then I thought, I wonder what the people like were driving by, what they were thinking, you know, when this was obviously taking place, you know, so.
Yeah.
And how you were able to get the clarity in the sound, you know, with like the traffic and everything in the background.
Right.
Then at the very end, I thought, okay, he walked away from his homie. Like,
right.
Okay, he kind of left him standing on the corner.
Yeah, and you notice that the homie was like confused about that or whatever. He was like, Is it cool? Is it cool?
Right.
You know what I mean? The other part of that I should mention is that I'm walking home. So I guess we can say that like he was like walking me halfway home or something. That's okay. How we'll frame it.
Okay, because I was like,
right.
I kind of got the impression he looked lost, like.
Right. He just laughed about it. Well, you know, if you meet, hopefully one of these days you'll get to meet Sean Black. One thing I do know, this is kind of a side note. So, you know, I'm kind of in the midst of a few different collectives when it comes to the Bay Area, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a record label. It's called Rendezvous Records. I'm very close to and connected with another record label called Isolated Wax. Soapbox Melodics is kind of another musical collective that, you know, I'm connected to. My label is RDV. But these are folks that I'm affiliated with that I work with on a regular basis. And I'm pretty sure that there are a couple of artists from Isolated Wax coming out for a tour or at least a few shows in June. Meg Abusive is one of them. Sean Black, the guy in the video, is one of them. Dirty Nate may actually be here as well. So if that's the case, I'll definitely let you know. And I also, just to let you know, have a CD from that record label. It's a Dave Dubb and the Sutter Kane Gang, Mind Police, that I need to deliver to you tomorrow. So don't let me forget about that.
But, you know, I think that, you know, I think I need in on, you know, a track or a video. Don't
mm-hmm.
you think I would fit in?
Yeah, I do. I mean, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing, right? The question about whether or not you would fit in is kind of based on what you're fitting into, right?
Right.
And I mean, you know, we keep it as open and universal as possible. So.
I just thought I'd just like, you know, throw that out there and just see how you respond. So.
Yeah. For sure. How'd I do?
Hey, that was a good one. That was a good one. So, you know, I'm going to be there. San Jose,
right.
You know, Atlanta, somewhere. You know, I'm
right.
just like.
Oh, you can definitely come to the Bay.
If nothing else, I want to either sit behind the camera and watch it being filmed or, you know, in the studio, you know, in the corner, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least
right.
I want to witness it or something. But you
right.
know what? I'm not sure if Santonio had called in or not. There was a caller that was on earlier, and I'm hoping that they will call back. But how about if I play a track by Julie C just to give the listeners a taste of Julie C?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to play These Streets by Julie C featuring Tony Hill.
For sure.
nation, brutalization. Hundreds dead from they so-called non-lethal chasing. Document all of it, still won't save them. Foundation donation, keep most our leaders complacent. Privatization, contracted prison plantations. Cajun generation with mass incarceration. Tiger soldiers of rebels through forces. Gotta contain them, database them. Call the anti-gang legislation. Incrimination, weed and shepherd gentrification. Urban land grab, economic displacement, good occupation. Call it income integration. Federal dole funds, developers tax breaking. The FCC so damn pro consolidation. Deregulation, free rank, greed from corporations. Hypocrites, U.S. human rights violations. All out war against poor population.
Yo, man. Yo, man. Yo, man.
Contributions keep politicians complacent, fiscal racist. Less you got, more they taking. Rich get richer from the poor devastation. Dollar hegemony, currency domination. Global banking industry teetering on some fake. Refinance your home for a low monthly payment. For clothes vacant, middle class shrinking, homelessness peaking. Impact only just catching up to this nation. More bankrupt declarations than college graduations. Collection agents buying and selling your information. American poverty pimping is at its greatest. Hypocrites, U.S. human rights violations. All out war against poor population.
Yo, man. Yo, man. Yo, man.
Dropping $110 million to open a new jail we don't need, while the district can't even find a measly 3.6 to keep our schools from closing. Want to know what's really going on? paper trail to downtown, Olympia, Wall Street, D.C. As long as poverty pimps keep profiting from our problems, we can't wait for change. We gotta create our own solutions straight from the people's movement. That's why we keep it pushing.
All right, that was These Streets by Julie C. featuring Tony Hill, and this was done through the Knox family. So, Shamako, you know, again, I think that she's an absolutely amazing female MC. I can't wait to see her perform again tomorrow night. But before I go any further, I want to bring the caller in because they did call back. So, caller from the 206-817, you are finally live on the Leopard Carpet with Shamako Noble.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, caller.
Hey.
What up?
It's Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Maria, I'm so sorry that I didn't get to you early, my friend.
That's okay.
Thank you for
How
calling
are you?
Back. I'm very
oh,
good. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, you know, but he threw me a curveball. I was like, you're not going to perform and I'm coming?
I have a feeling that, I don't know, if we can chorus him to do at least a song or two. What do you think?
I think that's only fair.
Oh, man.
At least one.
I'm just saying, because, like, I just ran into Amber, and she was like, man, you know, I'm really busy, but, man, Shamako's going to only be in town. I'm definitely coming, but if she came and you didn't perform, I think, like, she would be really hot.
And we need to talk about this on the radio show. Okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, as I'm having this conversation with Slavin, actually that little piece of information there, I'm not totally opposed to doing one or two tracks. I really just want to be able to, you know, like I said, like kind of share some of the like stories behind the music, you know what I mean?
Right, right. And
yeah.
I think, but you know, just one or two, you know, just saying.
Right.
You know,
true.
Maria, you know, thank you so much for, like, you know, putting that little bit of pressure on him, too. I wasn't, like, trying to, like, you know, say, hey, you know, because I'm coming, you need to perform.
Right.
I'm just saying.
See, Maria knows that I missed out on all these events. You know, she knows I'm always at work and I can't attend. And so I'm like, here it is, an event
right.
I can attend. And Shamako's in town. It's his event. And I don't get to see him perform.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it.
This is kind of working a little bit right now. So
while you let that marinate, Shamako, I thought let me ask Maria. Maria,
yes,
tell me what your thoughts are on Shamako Noble.
Well, when I first met Shamako Noble, we were at the UPC, the Mojafest Peace Center.
Oh, here
and,
you go.
And, you know, he came in, you know, I got the flyers, and I'm about to do this and that, you know, right? And I'm like, who is this dude? Like, he just, like, no eye contact, had this mean mug, and I was like, whatever. So we
she
were doing
that.
I thought he was a jerk. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we were doing this candlelight vigil for, so in 2008, there were a lot of 2007, 2008. There were a lot, you know, young lives that were, you know, a lot of young men were killed due to gunfire. So, we were doing a candlelight vigil at, where is that? At that Columbia City Library, and this lady drives by and said there was a shooting at Garfield. So we all just jump in our cars and match to Garfield, and him and Julie and a couple other people kind of came and was wanted to see what was going on. Dion was there with Mother's Outreach Movement. And long story short, I think that was kind of a moment where we all got to really mesh for some, you know, even though there weren't a lot of words exchanged, there was definitely
real
a heartfelt. Right, because the young man that got killed, I mean, it was a lot. I mean, he didn't get killed, I'm sorry. The one that got shot, a lot of us knew or knew their family or something, and then the people that didn't know, it was just, it had just happened. I mean, we were there on location, you know, the police came in, a statement, you know, so it was really sobering for us. So I think from that point, our connection started right there. That being said, I didn't even know Shamanco rapped, and he had told me he had did a few battles here and there, and he was a, you know, hip-hop Congress guy, you know. And when I say it like that, it was just like, this dude just, his organizer, he likes hip-hop. So when I first heard him rap, I was like, wow. And, you know, I'm real picky. I don't like everybody. So I was like, wow, this is kind of dope. I was surprised. I was really surprised. And I was like, okay, you need to kind of rap and push your album. And he was like, oh, I'm not really trying to be a rapper, you know. That, you know, I'm trying to save the world right now. I don't have time to rap kind of mentality.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, as he started to, because I wasn't as focused, the people started to really say, dude, you're kind of nice. Like, why aren't you rapping? And I think eventually he started to like, okay, maybe I should rap. But I'm totally, you know, and he's real humble about his rapping. Like, he wasn't even trying to be a rapper. Like, this guy just kind of does it. And he's really skilled and he's good. And, you know, so, you know, and Shamanco, that's my guy. You know, we go back and, no, I'm just kidding. No, he's, you know, real dear to me, my brother, you know, and that's it. I don't know. I can go on and on, but.
You know, well, Shamanco, you know that Maria Kang is the reason why, you know, I ended up getting involved with you. And so, you know, I knew that anybody that Maria would turn me on to, you know, would only be somebody of character, first of all, but also a talent, you know, that I could love and respect, you know, because Maria knows that I'm new to hip-hop also. You know, and even in her own way, you know, we sat in her living room and she kind of, you know, gave me an education, you know, around her background, who she knows, where she's from, and all of that. And so, you know, when I had you on the show, I'll tell Maria this, you know, publicly right now, you know, I really appreciate the fact for the two of you to, you know, help introduce me to this a new genre for me, and that, you know, you're kind around, you know, helping me understand and appreciate and grow in this particular art form, you know, that is new to me. And you know, and in that, the both of you make it very exciting for me to want to, you know, just have a deeper respect and understanding for it. So I thank both of you for that.
Well, thank you for having us. And, you know, I'm just part of the tapestry.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Okay, so first off, Maria, thank you very much for hooking me up with Lady Flavor and for saying all of that stuff and for the hundreds of things that you've done over the years that have been many, many things.
Oh, thank you.
Maria always says stuff like, oh, I'm just a part of the tapestry. That's like her thing. She likes to say things like that. And really, she's like a huge, like mover and shaker, and she'd be like, I don't even do stuff or whatever, right? But then you'll be on the radio, like, I wouldn't even know you if not for her. And I'm like, right.
Right.
But I also want to say that, like, you know, she had mentioned sort of some of the things that, you know, it's interesting, right? So what came up, like UPC, right, Mother's Outreach Movement, Visual Youth Violence. And it's so interesting that somehow, like, that environment leads to hip-hop and or hip-hop is connected to that environment is such that, like, this is where it leads, right? It leads to this conversation. And I think that, like, that's kind of, I feel like that's sort of the running theme of where we've been at in this collective conversation, right? I remember Maria, actually, she posted on Facebook. I'm trying to remember, like, the exact language. It was like remember when hip-hop used to save lives?
Yeah.
Was that right?
Yeah, so right. I miss the days when hip hop saved lives.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's you know, that's very true. And I think that there are still people out there working to, and that are keeping that true. I don't know if it's as like common as it used to be, but I definitely think that like where it exists, Maria can be found.
Right. Well, I know that she has a love and a passion for that, and I think that, you know, in just, you know, in the short time that I've known Maria, you know, you can feel kind of like that motherly thing. You can feel that activist in her, you know, fighting for the social justice, making people aware. And I think that when there are artists, you know, like, you know, or artists and activists, you know, like Maria and such as yourself, Shimako, I think that you guys will find those people that will pay attention and listen, you know. And I think that as you find those, you know, willing, and whether they are a part of it already or whether they just get introduced on a fluke, you know, to people such as yourselves, I think the awareness can be there. And I think that, you know, hip-hop can, you know, be. And I don't think it ever stopped, you know, being a part of, you know, what you could label as saving lives, because, you know, I mean, look at the you know, the people that, just even with myself that I'm connected to around conscious hip-hop, what I consider conscious hip-hop. You know, the music speaks to me, you know, and I'm a 50-year-old Japanese-German woman, you know, and that there are days when I flip, you know, I turn it on myself and say, you know, I need to hear this. You know, mm-hmm. There's a message in this today. And so I, you know, I would never give up on that. And I believe that it's still there, and I think that it can be resurrected, you know.
I think with all things, you know, everything evolves and changes. And even like with R&B, you know what I mean? R&B, it's not what it used to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to sing, there used to be love songs. Now they're sex songs. You know what I mean?
Right.
Same thing.
Right.
Like everything evolves. Like, you know, with the new age, with the technology and everything else, where people actually used to have conversations now. Or they used to go visit people, now they email. You know what I mean? Where they used to actually call people and talk to each other, they text. Like that whole, everything, like the whole evolution of things happen all the time. And I just remember a time when hip-hop was, you know, you learned about a lot of history through hip-hop. There was a lot of, you know, hip-hop was the anti-drug for a long time. You know, people would have hip-hop, you know, like battles, so that people didn't fight, you know what I mean? They would have, like, when breaking was in, you know, they used to have dance battles instead of fighting. You know, those kind of things, like, alleviated a lot of, you know what I mean? And so now when the industry rapes the true nature of hip-hop or anything, you know what I mean, the big corporations or whatever it is, when it rapes the essential, like the whole essence of what it is, whatever it is,
right?
It just, I don't know. I mean, that being said, you know, back in the day when hip hop was it was a beautiful thing. It still is a beautiful thing, but you know, there's a part of me that holds on to what it was.
No, I can understand and appreciate that. So Maria, tell the listeners of go ahead.
I just wanted to tail on Maria's point real quick, because I've been thinking about like that since she posted that, and what I feel like is like it didn't used to be a fight, right? Like you didn't used to have to fight for hip hop to be beneficial to everybody. It just was, right? Like now, part of that is fighting for hip hop to be that instead of it just being that,
right?
Which is kind of unnecessary in a lot of ways, but it's what we're dealing with, even though it's, like, it's confusing because you're, like, surrounded by all this. You're like, why isn't this happening if it's happening? Why is, you know, anyway.
Well, you know, I have wanted to do a show, and I haven't quite decided now whether I'm actually going to go through with it, but I was so gung-ho, and I don't know if I mentioned it to you, Shimako. I wanted to do a show called Let's Talk Hip-Hop. And it was because it is that I'm new to it. I wanted to get a variety of people in the hip-hop community from around the United States to be on a panel and talk about what hip-hop is, you know, to them. And you know, whether it, even if it was somebody who was, you know, that pushes the commercial, you know, hip-hop type thing or club hip-hop, whatever you want to call it, to the conscious hip-hop, I just really kind of wanted to have the take on a variety of people on it. Also, I still have tracks that hip-hop artists had submitted that were willing to publicly have their tracks critiqued by the panel. But a few people said to me, you know what, Flava, that may not be a good idea. You know, because it could be like, you know, not necessarily like dangerous or whatever, but it just might, you know, not come off the way that I think that it would. You know, because I just kind of believe in having these open, safe conversations around certain topics. And they gave me a sense that maybe that wouldn't really take place and I wouldn't get out of this particular show what I envision. And so I'm not sure whether I'll do the Let's Talk Hip Hop featured show or not, but I don't know. I think that it's something that, you know, maybe I'm just kind of naive, but I think that there could be a conversation around it. I had a young hip hop artist send me something yesterday on my Facebook, and he was so rude. You know, it had cussing, the N word in it, you know. Anybody who knows me, that's just like squashed. You know, you don't even come that direction with me. And he clearly didn't know who I was. And so I explained to him, I don't support, you know, music like that. And then he went into proceeding to the F word, this and, you know, this and that right on my Facebook page. And I was like, this is just really interesting. People like you give rap and hip hop a bad name, you know?
Well, that's a really interesting conversation, because the thing is, you know, for every generation and every, you know, every hip hop means different things to everybody,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so, Shamak, are you there?
Yep.
Oh. So, you agree? You feel what I'm saying? It's like, so what hip hop looks like. So when you have a conversation about hip hop. And Shamaka, help me out here. So, like, being able to have that conversation, like, I remember there was a conversation about Soulja Boy a while back about his ability to sell records. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily, like, in his environment, it's very much hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, that conversation, like, if we have that conversation, it has to be open. And what's, you know what I mean? And that's a hard conversation to have. I mean, do you agree
okay.
with me, Shamaka?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And, okay, so yeah, that's like, I mean, there's several layers to that. I have a friend of mine who said that, like, you could characterize the American artist struggle or the artist struggle in general as the struggle to be heard. Not that you want to necessarily characterize anything as a struggle, but that's pretty much, you know, when you look at it, right, listen to my stuff or, like, look at my paintings or, you know what I mean, like, book me for a DJ gig. It's pretty much like, check me out, like, listen to my voice. And, you know, not everybody's going to be super articulate about being rejected.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, and maybe it is something that I just need to squash that idea, since it's just not, it is something
well,
that's new to me.
It doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't rude and that he shouldn't get blocked on Facebook. It just means that, like, there is kind of a, you know, there's a, and I don't want to get too far into making excuses for bad behavior either.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, okay, I don't know, there's a couple of documentaries out there, you know, Rhyme and Reason, Freestyle, The Art of Flow. And one thing you'll kind of pick up in all of them is that there are a lot of people that are trying to do something positive with their music, and there
mm-hmm.
are not a lot of labels really checking for that. And that's just,
right.
I mean, we talked a little bit about this, like, last time, you know.
Right.
So the other thing about that is, right, we talked about cosmic stuff, right? It's like, what are you attracting out of people in general? Like, we're
mm-hmm.
not really even trying to pull the best. Like, in general, the music industry isn't trying to pull the best out of human beings.
Right.
You know, man, it's not really their job. So, and you look at a little kid, like a kid, you know what I mean, or a young cat just trying to, like, get hurt, you know what I mean? He's like, I don't know, nobody really wants to hear it. And on top of that, there's not like a huge amount of like part of the reason there's a whole hip-hop and education thing is because at some point somebody was like, man, it sucked when I wanted to know something and nobody told me. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that that doesn't happen to the next person. And sure. Then, you know, like thousands of people thought that sort of simultaneously. It was kind of weird. But,
right.
You know, I think that the unfortunate part of that, right, is that then you have somebody like yourself, right? And this is like we deal with this a lot, I think, in Congress. You have people who are being introduced to it, right, or kind of coming in,
uh-huh.
and they see the beautiful things, right, and they also see the ugly things, right?
Right.
And unless there's, like, something to put a context to it, it's just sort of like, what's going on? Like, what's going
right.
on? You know what I'm saying? I don't know
right.
where you can correct me.
Well, you know, remember when I said to you, Shimako, I said, you know, I think that hip-hop is one of the controversial, you know, genres of music, and it's interesting, you know, I was having this conversation with Jace today in regards to me making that statement to you, and then you posing it right back at me, well, what did I mean by that? And I do think that, you know, rap gets a bad rap, you know, in regards to, you know, how people perceive it and this and that, but it's, you know, for me, it's so interesting and challenging to understand it and to understand the artists and where they come from when they create it, you know. So I love the conversations. I love, you know, just, you know, hearing it. And that's why I had thought that I wanted to do this particular show called Let's Talk Hip Hop. So, you know, you never know. And it's rare that I get somebody who responds to me that way. Most of the time the artist will say, you know, respect, you know, Lady Flav or whatever. You know, he just happened to go in a totally different direction. And I thought to myself, I hope I never come face-to-face with him, you know, in Seattle, because, oh, my goodness, you know.
And that's
might
not
going to
work
different...
for him either, you know.
Right.
He didn't exactly make a friend out of you on that one.
No, he didn't. Not at all. Not at all. And I would, you know, even after that, because attitude means a lot to me, you know, and so, you know, I would never support that artist. But we've got about, like, 13 minutes left in the show. So which direction do you want to go? And it appears that Santonio may not be calling in, so I don't know if you want me to play a track of his.
Let's say some final words about the listening party, and then I don't know if anybody... Marie, I don't know if you had anything you think we should bring up.
Okay, then I'm
going
to play.
Actually, I got to go because I got to take care of some stuff here. I wanted to call in and say hey and give a shout out to everybody. And come to Shimako Nobles, go to the West Volume 1 listening party at Fair tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
8 p.m. And it's free.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Maria.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Good night.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow night. Good night. All right. Well, with that said, I'm going to play a piece by Santonio Bandanas, and I'm going to play Boogie Up the Block.
All right.
Bandanas! It's your man's on the street. Put it on repeat. It's your man's on the street. Put it on repeat. It's your man's on the street. Put it on repeat. It's your man's on the street. Put it on repeat. Already know what I'm doing in here. I wanna see somebody moving in here. I'm the type to grab a broom and put a few in the air. Shake that booty, baby, put it in gear. Like there's a party in your pants, they ain't letting through air. Exclusivity, yeah, you a bit shorty. You trying to get it started, pity on a runny kind of booty. And I'm signing for the death like most of these raps. And I'm rhyming on it, oh, dumping they fucking and breaking, losing their mind. It's 2009, year of Obama's bandanas time. My ninja, I bang for change. And stay shining on them like you can. Hey, cause I do it like they can't. What would ever make you think? I can just close up and wait. Get that feeling in your way. Try to stick it in your face. Antonio is a man. This is what it takes. And I do it every day. And you know this, man. I'm a nerd to make moves like a gangster do. So I'm a boogie up the block. I got things to do. I got a city that I'm playing with you.
Boogie up the block. 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 Boogie up the block.
minute. It's bandanas from the country of district. We do a jig, you do a minimal hit. They get different with the homies that you stepping in the kitchen. That is one of these that are mixed in the heat that I'm spitting.
We
fabric made it ill will. Once it rocks, till your mind gets packed.
sucker MC get gas for strength. My whole city falls ill. Big top fabric made of ill will. The bottles are cathartic. The mismanaged market. Visible to God that hit mark. I haven't graduated till I stack. Certificates and little significance. Still won't dance. What's the problem is? Like an axe blade. On top of big block, a chip. Flicks wrap off like salt changing chords. This could be two chords. This is just. This is my territory. Protected with my soul. And security. For all the intrigue. Real time. Megahertz. Megahertz. You've been mine. Coast to coast, rush off. Walk through the star state. Spend money. Get their body and tip. That's what. And who is you? Suckers got flavors on file. Like, this could die. Home only you when a rap, get let go. Plus charge stick. Play history team. And walk the car with your escort. Just who fly. Once it rhymes to your mind, get tacked. Sucker MC get gas to strength. My whole city far built. Big top fat. Bridges your arms, get strong, get critical, talk points, get off, and walk like a piece of a grenade. My rage just left at the registrar, can't duck the bazaar, hotel, a massacre, draw a rhymer for brand names and car frames, and all the black flames, still only had a two-car brigade, or in the keys, hungry in the microphone theme, or fight, in the caucus in the mic. Once it rhymes in your mind, get packed. Sucker MC, get gas, strength. My whole city falls ill. Big top fabric made of ill will. Once it rhymes in your mind, get packed. Sucker MC, get gas, strength. My whole city falls ill. Big top fabric made of ill will. My rhyme, my time piece, it don't quit. Keep the word like technology lift. My vocal box software, always up, got links, never blank. Too violent, that's why he bite lit. Puppeteers got strings like mangas, not contemporary rap singers. I'm just getting stay like company and your progeny. I'm in your forehead, I know the sound is morbid. I'm free, small fish. Once it rhymes in your mind, get back.
That was One Thin Rhyme by Silent Lamb Project, Silas Black, and E. Cage Jace, two of my favorite men. Shimako, the first time I got a hug from Black and saw him smile, I thought I just won the lottery because, you know, he's such a serious person, and he doesn't speak, he doesn't talk that much, but when he talks, it's like wisdom, you know, coming out of his mouth. And so it was like, yes, I made it. I got a hug from Silas Black. So I look forward to, you know, of course, seeing them tomorrow night, and I look forward to meeting you. So what side of Shimako Noble am I going to meet tomorrow night?
A few? Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
You have to keep your eyes open for which one shows up when.
Ah, okay. You know, maybe you'll meet a few sides to Lady Flava too.
I would hope so.
We'll just play it by ear. I'll surprise mm-hmm. you too.
We've been doing that since we met, Flava.
can you tell Shimako Noble and Lady Flava? We just kind of wing it when we get together on air, but I really enjoy, you know, spending time with you. You have such interesting stories. And the one thing that I will say, what I sense and know about you and the artists that are going to be performing tomorrow night, I don't know Jamil, but, you know, I look forward to getting to know him. But I have to say that when it comes to you, you know, when it comes to Julie C., you know, when it comes to Silas Black and EKJ, that it's not just about the music. It's about family. It's about community. And that I have such an appreciation for, because I think that, you know, but the music can heal. The music can speak to the people. And I think that, you know, community is a big thing. So I think that the thing that you were sharing earlier in the show today, Shimako, to what Maria shared about you, I think that you're more of a caregiver and that you're always looking out for others, you know, and making sure that they're being heard and that they have a platform. So I think it's a beautiful thing when people are looking out for you, you know, like your mother and your friends and people in the music community and hip-hop community that are saying, you know what, it's okay to shine the light on yourself, Shimako.
True. Very true.
So anyway, everybody come out tomorrow night, 8 p.m. to the Fair Gallery here on Capitol Hill, and, you know, check out what, you know, this amazing man has put together, meet some of the artists that he works with, and just come out, have a good time, and it's free. Can't get better than that. It's free, you know. So
that's right.
I'll be in the house, you know, along with some of my other friends and family. So I look forward to it, Shimako. So, you know, you better give me a hug because, you know, I'm a Cancer. I need hugs.
Oh, you're gonna get a big one. You might get a few. Look out for a few.
I'm looking forward to it. So, is there anything else that you want to share with the listening audience, Shimako?
No, I think we're good. Check out the website www.shimakonoble.com. www.hiphopcongress.com. Check out the artists we talked about. You know, respect independent music, respect local music, and that's about it.
All right. So, Shimako, you know, you have a home here on Flavor News Radio and the Leopard Carpet. Seems like you like the Leopard Carpet. So any projects you've got coming out, you know, just definitely hit me up. You see how we do it. We can throw something together at the last minute.
I love how you do a flavor, and I'm definitely going to be back. Definitely going to refer quite a few people to you. I appreciate you, and I think that, you know, what you're contributing to the culture community as a whole can never be underestimated or undervalued.
Well, I appreciate that. So, if you want to meet Lady Flava, I'm going to be there at the Fair Gallery tomorrow night. You know, I'll be the one hugging Shimako Noble and hanging out. Who knows what side you'll see of me. And he's saying you don't know what side you're going to meet of him. But I'm going to close out today's show. And I think, Shimako, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say that this particular piece is called Ill.
That is correct.
Featuring Black. So I'm going to play Ill, huh?
Wait, okay. No, wait. Are you playing Ill?
No.
Ill features Sean Black, which is a different Black.
Oh, Sean Black.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, I had just put Black because it said Black, so thank you for correcting me. It's Sean Black.
Not a problem.
Okay,
it's going to be interesting when, like, Black and Sean Black are in, like, the same room, and that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay, so don't confuse me because, you know, I'm old with silver hair. But with that said, I'm closing out today's show with Shimako Noble, the Sword of the West mixtape. Party is taking place tomorrow night at the Fair Gallery. I'll be there along with several of our hip-hop friends, and I'm going to play Ill by Shimako Noble featuring Sean Black.
Take breaths, cool, low-key, get them wide open. In the field scoping, knowing that in any moment the conditions change, then the missions change. Cats want to run the planet, can't administrate.
Nope.
They claim they run the gamut, but they never demonstrate.
They do not.
Right now, we are not concerned with your approach, but more with the folks who remain folks no matter how much the situation might turn. Sometimes you learn, sometimes you coach. There's only so many words, your combinations stay endless. So the limits and intention, and I intend to extend beyond comprehension. Then plan to return to reclaim this dimension. If you don't mind, I would like to say a rhyme, and I hope that it resonates deep in your spine. Like, yeah, we on the real with it. We stay chill with it, and we still kill it with a meal ticket.
A meal ticket.
Yeah, this shit is here. Yeah, we on the real with it. We stay chill with it, but we still kill it with a meal ticket. Yo, this shit is here. Dirty Nate and Shamak in the place. We on the real with it. Still in a real state of mind, with my mind on my money in the field,
in the field,
the dream, yeah. Build, they will come and join the team, riding the balance beam of harebrained schemes to snare that cream, you know it rules everything around me, and defeat brokenness sound. But enough of that chatter, back to the right matter at hand. The mask out of craft, the industry's giving up. I hope that you have never given up. Give me that record contract, I'm finna rip it up. Grip the nuts, throw up a dub, just because I feel like I represent the West Coast whenever I rip the cut. It's just my personality. A certain style and a youthful vitality. Plus the wisdom of the ages. Sages on top of my soapbox, like my homie Nate is. Yeah, we on the real with it. We stay chill with it, and we still kill it with a meal ticket.
A meal ticket.
Yeah, this shit is ill. Yeah, we on the real with it. We stay chill with it, but we still kill it with a meal ticket. Yo, this shit is ill. Dirty Nate and Shamak in the place. We on the real with it.
That was the.
That was Ill by Shamako Noble featuring Sean Black. My featured guest tonight, Shamako Noble on the leopard carpet, talking about his mixtape release party tomorrow night at Fair Gallery here on Capitol Hill in Seattle, Washington. It's called The Sword of the West. I can't wait, you know, to experience these artists. Some of them, you know, I know. One I don't, and just being able to meet Shamako in person after connecting with him online. I look forward to it. So join us. I'll be there. Come up and meet me if we don't know each other. And, you know, let's have a good time together at Fair Gallery on Capitol Hill tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Take care. God bless. And stay tuned. I know Shamako Noble will be back on the leopard carpet probably sometime in the very, very near future. Otherwise, stay tuned to all the shows that we do on Flavor News Radio and spread the word about who we are and what we do.